Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
Okay, here we go.
We have last question.
Last question.
No
final
pressure.
Answer. I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, recorded live for Reviews and Brews at the Cactus Cafe in Austin, Texas, it's Two Guys on Your Head with an audience question about money and happiness.
Okay, I had a friend who was going through a rough patch financially one time, and she said, "They say money won't buy happiness, but I'd rather be unhappy with it than unhappy without it." I had patches in my life where I wasn't as financially secure as I am right now. And I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about money because I wanted to. I did it because I had to make sure I stayed solvent. What do you say to people who really don't have time to spend a whole lot of time thinking about what makes them happy and or how they make other people happy?
Yeah, you know, I'm so glad you asked that question because, again, we live in Austin, Texas, which is a pretty wealthy community, at least many parts of it, and we have a lot of choices, and we have a lot of opportunities, and people who go through financial difficulties or in sort of a sustained state of financial difficulty don't have those choices. But I think, you know, one of the things that the data show that we've talked about before on the show is that if you're not able to care for yourself, you know, it's hard to break through any kind of thing about, you know, joy and happiness when you're worried about feeding your children and, you know, having a place to sleep tonight and those kinds of things. I mean, that's certainly a thing. And I don't have a glib answer to say, well, you know, just buck up and, you know, appreciate the sunshine, that kind of thing. But I do think it does say something about our culture and our society that has so much wealth and so many resources, that in order to provide what most people need in terms of their basic fundamental needs should be a priority for all of us. Because I don't have a solution. I don't know if Art does for, you know, saying to somebody, you're just struggling to eke out survival and talking about happiness and joy is just not on your radar screen. That's adaptive human behavior. That's not a bad attitude. That's just trying to survive.
I will say one thing, though, with this, which is if you plot wealth of a sort of median income or in countries by happiness, you know, then they do scales of, you know, they'll measure well-being in countries, and what you get is a distribution. You know, there's roughly a linear kind of relationship that as a country gets wealthier, in general, it seems to get happier overall. But then there are countries that consistently fall above or below that line, and you can ask yourself, what is it that makes a country fall above or below that line? And one of the things that makes a country fall above the line, meaning that people are happier on average than they, quote, ought to be given the overall national wealth, is that they tend to be societies with a lot of close family relationships in which there's a lot of community and family, you know, people really engaging with each other. And so, again, I think, you know, Bob is right. When somebody's going through a difficult situation of any kind, and it could be a financial situation, it could be a health crisis, it can be hard in that moment to be thinking of anything else other than I have to take care of this acute problem in front of me. Nonetheless, days are long, and what's amazing is people who are suffering from long-term debilitating illnesses still find moments of joy, and people who are struggling with financial crises also do, generally by engaging with the people around them and drawing on those close personal relationships. And, you know, we're a social species. We are wired for that kind of engagement. And it really is a profoundly satisfying thing to have people in your life that you care about and who care about you, even under, and perhaps particularly under, the worst of circumstances.
And this is why I just wanted to say this one addendum of that. This is why volunteer organizations like Meals on Wheels, other kinds of organizations that create human contact where there would otherwise be none, or very little, are such an important part of uplifting people in our community. So,
you know, and it is difficult, especially when poverty is not just, it's not just experienced, it's also stigmatized. And I was talking to a friend of mine who, we were talking about, where did rent parties go? You know, people used to have rent parties. They couldn't make the rent, they'd have a party and everybody would bring some money, you know? And it's like, now you can't make the rent and you feel like you are a failure of existence. And I think that it's really important to think about the way in which we can continue to come together. And I don't always, but most of the time, when we finish a show, I always end with a quote by a theater director who's a theater director in Sarajevo. And when Susan Sontag put on Waiting for Godot in Sarajevo during the wartime, people asked her, and they asked the theater director, like, why would you ever put on a play in the middle of a war zone? I mean, people can hardly feed themselves. They're struggling to stand up and they're dying on the way here. Like, why would you do that? And the theater director said, you know, in war, the common misconception is to survive. He said the actual most important thing in wartime is to remain human in each moment. And I think it's important for us to remember there is, you know, survival, and it's important to survive, but some things are more important, like human connection and remaining human in each moment. So thank you for coming out, and thank you for sharing in this experience. Thank you, Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke.
Thank you all for coming. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Have a beautiful night. Thank you for coming out.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychological impact of near misses with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. Will Clark was our engineer. And a special thanks to Amy Chambliss, Matt Munoz, Hawk Mendenhall, Jack Anderson, Chris Luwak, and all the folks from the Cactus Cafe and KUT who make Views and Brews possible. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.